Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 24th, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 23, the fourth paragraph down. Today's readers are Brandy M. reading the 12 steps, Joanne L. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the texts are Barbara W., Dion R., and Shelley E. Our new cover greeter today will be Tamara C., and making announcements will be Robin P. The reference numbers for the last two meetings, yesterday, Tuesday, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, the reference number is 19,322 or 19322. And the reference number for Wednesday this morning, August 24th at 7 a.m. Eastern, is 19,324 or 19324. OA Preamble. OA, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. My name is Brandy M., and I am a food addict. The 12 steps. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Brandy M. Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA? Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you so very much for your service, and thank you for everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island. I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 23, paragraph 4, and I will ask Barbara W. to get us started. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Barbara W., here, recovering compulsive overeater from Seattle, Washington. The tragic truth is that if the man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. He has lost control. At a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. Oh, boy. Well, I have to relate that I am the child of two alcoholics. I have to mention that. And I honestly believe that by the time I was born in 1945, I'm thinking of my father the most. That when my dad found out I was a girl, because I had an older brother, he probably went out and kind of had a few drinks. That was just the situation of how his life went. Everything was about getting a drink. And I don't know if anybody talked to him about his drinking. Because I think if I'm sure his family also, I'm thinking of his father, were also alcoholics. And my father came about it because alcohol was always present in his home. And for a man to have a drink was probably very acceptable back then in the 30s. So, I mean, that's where I am. Did I know I was a compulsive overeater? Yes, because I had eaten a half gallon of something, and I couldn't figure out why. That's strange. Why did I do that? I didn't know. I didn't understand. I knew my parents, what their problem was. But I didn't understand it. How can you have food and being a problem? I mean, everybody eats food. And it's back in the early 70s. And as the saying goes, it progressed. And today, if I take the first bite, I'm off and running. I know I'm a compulsive overeater. I have a history of spending money on food. And I'm not sure where I got the money, except that my savings is quite low. I don't know where I crossed the line. I really don't. But at some point, I know I realized, and I knew nobody goes out and buys all that food. And then by the end of the day, if I haven't consumed it, I throw it away. And then I start again the next day. Then I knew I was a compulsive overeater.
That's time.
And with that, I pass.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Timing. Thank you, Barbara W., for getting us started. So I am now happy to take names of those who would like to share. And please remember, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share today?
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Joanne.
Michelle F.
Joanne L.
Yes.
And who was the next one? S?
Michelle F.
Michelle F. Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
Gail K. Sherry Z.
Sherry Z.
Debbie P.
Debbie P. Wonderful. Okay. We can stop there. I have Sherry M., Joanne L., Michelle F., Gail K., Sherry Z., and Debbie P. Please go ahead, Sherry M.
Oh, thank you so much for your service today. And my name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully living in a recovered state today, and I'm in Wyoming. And I just, this sums up the whole thing. Tragic truth, the very sad truth for someone like
Hello, we lost you, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. Yep.
Oh, so sorry. I was talking away. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to talk up. I'm sorry about that. You can deduct it from my time. So the sad truth is that I am a real compulsive overeater. There is never going to be a day when I'm not going to be a real compulsive eater. My will is broken when it comes to food. I will never have willpower. I have lost control. I don't have any control. I have a body that's sickened. When I put food in, I cannot stop, and I cannot predict when I'm going to eat more. And I have a mind that tells me that I do not have this disease. And this is the tragic truth for somebody like me. And the only thing that can help me with this disease of not going back to the food is having my mind become recovered so that it's not alcoholic. And I'll know if it's alcoholic or not, because I will be thinking about food or, you know, having food thoughts or looking at people's food or whatever. And I have a daily reprieve. And if I work these steps 1 to 12 every single day, as instructed in the big book and what I have learned from Vision for You meetings, then this disease can be arrested. So that's the promise here also. This is a warning paragraph, but the promise is that if I do what is indicated here, I can actually live a free woman where I don't have to live in tragedy. But if I am not working the steps and I go back to an alcoholic mind, then I will continue on the vicious cycle of thinking that once again, this time will be different and I can pick up this food and it'll be okay because of my length of time. And I can tell you that being recovered and being abstinent are two different things. When I was abstinent, I still had an alcoholic mind and I was not surrendered with step one. I am so grateful that I know today that I have a broken will. I am maybe normal in other areas or maybe not, but when it comes to food and this disease, I have no control and I have no power, and I heard my time, and thank you so very much for letting me share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Joanne L., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. I am a compulsive overeater, and I just so grateful to be here today. So I took this paragraph, and I the word that was jumping out at me today is malady. And if you read down the paragraph about five lines, it says, once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. Well, you know what? The word malady means a disease or disorder of the body or mind. So this brings me to the point of I have the allergy of the body. I think, you know, you can relate this to the doctor's opinion, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. So what does that really mean? That means that I can't eat certain foods, because if I do, if I ingest those foods, then I will go crazy. And this is actually the second part to step two. And the second part is, could restore us to sanity. So the allergy of the body, I think I can eat something, I pick up, and guess what? I'm off and I'm running, and I'm a crazy lady. The obsession of the mind means, and I'm taking my index finger and pointing to my head. The obsession of the mind means that I think that I can actually eat something or that I can get away with something that I'm not supposed to have. And I say, oh, it's okay, just this time. How many times have we heard that? Well, I've tried this a million times, just this time. And it never did work, okay? So this I have learned, that the allergy of the body is something I cannot eat like everybody else. I cannot eat like my sisters, my brothers, my nieces, my nephews. The obsession is saying to myself, just take one bite. You will be okay this time. It won't hurt you. If we didn't take the first bite to begin with, then it wouldn't make us think. And this disease is also a disease of thinking, because if we think we can do something, if we think we can pick up or we can have this or we can have that, that's where it all begins, for me anyways. So it's also a thinking disease. And, you know, I used to use food to avoid my feelings. Okay, so that's where the word sanity comes in, because I would eat over anything and everything. But
that's
today,
time.
Thank you, Kathy. But today I understand the difference. I don't have to. When I am feeling something, I know what I can do is I say, wait a minute, what is it that you're feeling? What is it that you're going through? And I know what to do with that. I can always make phone calls, and I can also do a 10-step. But anyways, thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Michelle F., please share with us.
Hi. Thanks. Thank you, Kathy K., for your service. Good morning, everybody. I was moved to share. You know, there's that saying, comedy is tragedy plus time. And so that word tragic, I think it's tragic in there in the paragraph. I don't have the book in front of me. Depends on your perspective. And that's what's great about this program. It changes our perspective. I felt, you know, I was feeling real sorry for myself when they figured out that I couldn't control my eating anymore. And now I would say that moment was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I had no idea. I had no idea that I was sleepwalking through life. You know, I knew I was drowning, and I didn't know what to do about it. But when I saw the ad for OA in the paper, it was like I glimpsed shore for the first time. And so, you know, we can feel sorry for ourselves that we can't eat the way everybody else does. Or we can see this as the best thing that ever happened to us, because it opens us up. I didn't have any God in my life, and all my relationships were bad. And the one that I loved the most with food was dysfunctional and killing me. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to sense that this wasn't normal, and then I had a problem. And then I was able to find OA and come in, because my life is rich today. And this disease, my experience with it is my greatest asset, because it brings me in touch with other people. I was so isolated, and I can still be in recovery, not eating. I can be isolated, but by giving service, by coming to OA, by being able to talk about something that means so much to me, I am able to open myself up and connect with other people. And that's really what I've wanted most of my life, was to connect with other people. So all of you who are despairing right now, don't give up. Keep coming, because this can turn out to be your best thing that ever happened to you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Michelle F. And Gail K., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Gail K., a recovered compulsive overeater who lives in gratitude one day at a time. I related to this paragraph. In fact, I relate to the entire book. I do feel like it was written just for me. But when it says this tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. And that brought to mind a picture of myself in my early dieting days, and I was in a Weight Watchers group, and the lecturer was telling us, make a list of 10 things to do before you go and eat whatever. And I was sitting there, and I don't know if I'm sure I didn't say it out loud, but I thought to myself, she doesn't understand. I don't have space to make a list. I'm going about my business, or I'm doing something, and suddenly I'm in the refrigerator getting food, or going to a drive-through, getting food and stuffing my face. It's as if a black cloud just comes over my head out of nowhere, and I'm binging my brains out. And I didn't understand what that was all about, and I was too ashamed to mention it out loud in that meeting. But I know that there was a part of me that suspected something isn't right long before the final day came when I was literally face down in the food, ordering more food, desperately wanting to stop, and I couldn't. And I got the clarity that I was truly powerless over compulsive overeating and that I could not stop on my own. So what I would say to newcomers, this is my experience, strength, and hope. Keep coming back to the meetings, but the idea that somehow, someday, I was going to get control of this thing, that had to be smashed. And when that was finally smashed for me, then I was able to reach out and grab the lifesaver that this program offers. And I'm experiencing beautiful recovery, food neutrality, but it's born on the bedrock of complete defeat. By myself, door number Gail, same, you know, Groundhog Day. Door number two, taking the 12 steps of recovery with a recovered sponsor guiding me. Fourth dimension, freedom from the torture of food addiction. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Gail K. Cheryl Z, please share with us.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z, living in a recovered state in Los Angeles, California, and thank you all for your service. I was just teary because I was listening to my sponsor and sponsee share, and I was just thinking that there were so many years that I truly believed that I was broken because everybody else could do this. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And everybody else could do this. Everybody else, it said, had the desire to stop, and they would stop. All my friends would be like, oh, I went on a diet, I lost weight, you know, and I would look around and think, I am broken. I am broken. And it took me until I realized that I am broken, but I am not bad. I'm broken in that I don't have that peace that allows me to do what other people do, but I'm not bad. It doesn't mean that I'm broken and bad. It just means that I have to have acceptance for who I am exactly as God made me. And what God made is a person who literally can't say just this time, just can't say it, and has to say that recovery is bigger than abstinence, that I had to live in a recovered state. And once I really surrendered that broken was not bad, I stopped grieving. I stopped grieving that it was a tragedy and why couldn't I do it and what was wrong with me. I stopped all that whining that we see in the previous paragraphs. And I was like, oh, God made me exactly how I'm supposed to be. And so, okay, not broken, not bad. And then it stopped being so tragedy, grieving in my mind. It just was the situation. So I'm just incredibly grateful for today, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Sherry Z. Debbie P., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. I'm calling from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. While this paragraph has a lot in it that I've thought about from my situation, my experience, I also was, my dad was an alcoholic and my mom was untreated, whatever. And she never denied food for me, to me, whether it was a meal or a snack, she just, there it is. And I tried all kinds of twisted thinking and control to try and control my food and my weight, but yet still continue to eat what I wanted, when I wanted, as much as I wanted. And I had to realize that the allergy that I have with food portrays itself so differently than allergic reactions that I'm familiar with in other situations. And so, you know, I use that for an excuse. See, I can't be a compulsive eater because however many, you know, reasons I have, it doesn't portray itself like this allergy I know of. But I think also that I innately knew that there was something wrong, because in my early 20s, I'm 58 now, I quit eating donuts because I knew I can't eat just one. I had to just make that decision to not eat them. And I didn't eat donuts for probably 10 or 15 years because I knew if I started, I would not be able to stop. I just didn't understand that that was part of my allergy and my disease. Some 25 plus years later, I know today that I am a real alcoholic or compulsive overeater, like the book shares with us. And so the other thing that struck me was, when did others recognize my disease? Maybe it didn't say that word for word, but in 2009, it was brought to my attention that I might have an issue with eating because my behaviors are out of control when I had certain foods or when I had no foods. I would behave in extreme manners, usually unkind to those around me. Fortunately, today, I now have a solution. I don't have to control my food. I have 12 steps. I have a power with a capital P that shows me the way, shows me my food plan, shows me my 10 steps and the answers to those, and then working with the newcomer. And also, finally, I want to just say I love hearing everybody else's perspectives, because I've heard a lot of things that other people got out of this paragraph that I did not get. And so this helps broaden my horizons of understanding of my disease. So with that, I will pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. Okay, we have time for about four or maybe five more shares. Who would like to share?
Dion R.
Carol F.
Carol F. Anyone else?
Pamela E., California.
Pamela E., thank you. Anyone else?
April B., Virginia. Is there still room?
April B. And I could take one more. Okay, we'll see if anyone else, and if we have time at the end. So go ahead, Dion R., please share with us. Dion, press star one to unmute.
Thank you, Kathy. Sorry about that. Sure. Trying not to fall here. Let me cut this fan off. No, I'm good. Hi, everyone. My name is Dion Orr. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you all for your sharing and giving me new perspectives as well from this very paragraph. I'm sorry. And what stood out for me today as I was reading, it was like not only is it a tragic, the word tragic, like someone just described, that's horrible. Tragic means, this is the answer. You may not like it, but this is what it is. It could be death or whatever. And to me, it was death. Death of me doing things my way. Death of enjoying binging and personality flying all over the place and hoping you like it and really didn't care and all that nastiness, you know. That's tragic to know, oh, man, I really got to give up this sugar or this whatever. On my way, I think I had to do that because, as the paragraph mentioned before, I did all that. I was hoping, and when they said one day, some drinkers, you know, all that, you know, they may find a compulsive overeater may find a solution. Well, I was holding out. I was like, well, I might be that one. But the happy day never arrived. Matter of fact, the happy day that I was looking for didn't arrive. Something even greater happened. I got a better life. I got a life. I'm no longer trying to control it, and it's not controlling me. To me, that's life. That's where the tragedy ends and life begins. did I turn that mess around with the help of surrender into a God of my understanding, and that he got through to this to me by this 12 steps and this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that works for thousands and millions more. So what made me think I would be different, you know? But I had to surrender. And I'm so grateful I did it. I am no longer tragic, no matter what happens today. It's no tragedy unless I put my mind in the state of mind that it is. And I've been around long enough to I have empathy for the ones who are still trying. Don't give up. If you woke up, you got a chance to try it again. And it, like I said, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. It may not take everybody 30 years to get 10 years, you know, like I do. But today I'm grateful for those 10 years. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be a law surgeon. And with that, I'll shut up.
Thank you so much, Dion R. And can we hear now from Carol F.? Please share with us.
Hi. This is Carol F. from Redmond, Oregon, compulsive overeater. I just wanted to throw in here that for me, it was very hard to relate to this tragic, hopeless state of mind because I was in control and I was a dieter and restrictor. And I would gain the weight, but then I could lose it. And I never really got terribly heavy or anything like that. It took a long time and listening to visions before I realized that the dieting and restricting is part of the disease and that the controlling was not the same as recovery. And that was a real revelation to me. It's still something I have to remember every day because the dieting was so much a part of my thinking in my life that, I did not relate to this sense of hopelessness and everything. I thought, no, I can lose the weight, you know. And it just really didn't occur to me that that was not the problem. The problem was that my mind was closed and I was self-centered and I couldn't really relate with other people in a healthy way. And all of that was, and I was a perfectionist. You know, I was like, it's all or nothing and everything had to be perfect. So, those were my problems and I did not relate to the hopelessness of my disease until I realized that. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that into the mix because I didn't feel out of control, and I think probably a lot of people coming into this program relate to dieting as something good, and for me it was part of the problem. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carol F. Pamela E., please share with us.
Hi, Pamela E., compulsive overeater here in California. Good morning, good morning. That's what I needed to hear this morning. Thank you, everyone, for being here because your stories makes a difference. The big book makes a difference. And I have, I have a sponsor, I have a program, I have a God, but I've still been trying to control it, to cure it. And God knows I didn't cause it, but I have this thing. So this morning I get to listen to this and be amazed and inspired, but that's not enough. It's 12 simple rules. The 12 steps as laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a tragedy. It's tragic when I keep trying to fight it and do it myself. And today I get to lay that down and grab a little bit more of God and a little less of me and just go for it in prayer today. And thank you for my program is strengthened, but I am not the strength. It's God and your voices that's making a difference on my journey today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela E. April B., please share with us.
Hi, April B. in Virginia. And, you know, for me, the happy day was never going to arrive. I never had the ability to diet very well or for very long. The only time I was able to lose weight prior to OA was, you know, doing what I called the Betty Ford liquid diet, which means I was drinking a lot and throwing up and not eating as much. I mean, that was the only external control I had over my food was to make myself ill. So I had no success. So the happy days, you know, of me being able to control my eating just wasn't going to come because I simply didn't have it. And I heard someone in a meeting one time say, you know, we're powerless and our lives were unmanageable by us. And, you know, she went on to say that, you know, my life was mostly managed by God, not for me. The reason I was in trouble with the food is because I was trying to manage and control my life and everyone around me, and I simply couldn't do that. And therefore, my solution to not being able to do that was to eat and eat a lot and all the time and, you know, trigger a craving. You know, I simply didn't have it. So for me, I knew that it was never going to happen. And the happy, you know, for me, the happy day arrives when I'm in this program one day at a time, doing all the things that we got to do, you know, making the calls, reading the book, committing my food. I do that. And, you know, that's what saves me. That is what saves me. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much, April B. Okay, we have time for two more shares. Is there anyone else who would like to share?
From California.
Mary B. from Arizona.
Okay, the first voice I heard was a man's voice. Who was that?
A.
Jay? Okay. Jay, did I get that right?
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Jeff A. Got it. Thank you, Jeff. And another one?
Gen Z from California.
Gen Z. And if we have time, who else was?
Mary B. from Arizona.
Okay, let's see how we do, Mary. Jeff A., please start.
Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. This is my second week on Vision, and today's been, well, it's every day that I haven't been able to come eat every time, but this has been really, I'm just kind of, I'll probably have this feeling again and again, but eventually I hope that it'll really stick, which is I just can't eat. I overeat all the time, but I am one of those persons who I go to the gym and stuff, and so I still look pretty good, but it doesn't matter. I can't not do it, and that's kind of where I'm at. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff A. Keep coming back. Jen Z, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia. And I just wanted to share real quick that I am relating to this paragraph a lot. Yesterday I was in the food again, and I ate more than I've eaten. It wasn't a full-on binge, but it was more than I've eaten since I came back to OA a year and a half ago. And I'm really scared about it. I don't want to, you know, go down that path again. And I know that I need to enlarge my spiritual life and incorporate the steps of my higher power more into my life. I know that's what I'm lacking, and it's showing in the food. And so I'm just grateful for this meeting and for all of you for sharing and carrying the message to me. And thank you so much, and I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen V. And Mary B., you have 2 minutes. Oh, no, you have 3 minutes. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Mary B. I am a grateful, recovered, but not cured compulsive overeater from Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the newcomer. Please make my day and leave your name when they ask for newcomer names today. It would really help me in my recovery. Yeah, it's just been, as usual, the shares are off the charts, you know. I mean, but and I'm going to go there. The tragic truth that if the man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. Well, I had a little problem with being a real compulsive overeater. See, I thought I was smarter. I was better than all the rest of you people in OA for 34 years. And I had all the answers and I was going to gain back control and I was going to be able to have a dessert and walk away like a lady. Wow. The disease and the food showed me, no, never. And exactly what it says, the happy day may not arrive. It wasn't going to arrive. 65 years of my life, I beat that dead horse. Do you know what I'm saying? I tried every imaginable remedy to make the compulsive overeating stop. So many things I've learned in A Vision for You in the past 5 years. I've been reading the book for 34 years in OA, the big book, but I really wasn't reading the book. I wasn't understanding. I wasn't getting it. It wasn't until I came to A Vision for You, which is the renaissance of OA, let's face it, that I was shown the way. That you take this book literally as it is written. This book is here to save our behind. It's to help us get out of the obsession, the of the disease. Because let's face it, I was obsessed for 65 years. Thank you once again, Overeaters Anonymous. I've got over 5 years of abstinence now, a life I never dreamed possible. If it can happen for a bozo on the bus like me, it can happen for you. Don't kid yourself. Keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Mary B. What a wonderful meeting today. Thank you, everyone. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Would Dion R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Kathy. Hi, everyone.
Whoops, I don't hear you, Dion.
Okay,
Dion,
are you there?
Now? Yes,
now
I can. Okay.
Can you hear me, Kathy? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Oh, cool. All right, technical stuff. Sorry about that. Hi, my name is Dion R. Very grateful again to be a part of the solution that you guys showed me. And page 164. Yes. This is our book. The big book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it, though, that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. With that, I greatly pass.